This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Just a few days until the election, and then I think right now we could all use a laugh. Now. It may be our last chance. Luckily, the Lady Parts Justice League has descended on North Carolina, and they will give us just that. It is a collective of top comics from around the country, founded by Liz Winstead. She's the co-creator of The Daily Show and a very funny writer and comedian.
But, I mean, psycho racism, it's like on fleek, if that's the proper use of on fleek. But I just feel like it's influencing everything. People are banning, like, crazy paranoid people on airplanes are like, I heard that person speaking Arabic, but they can't get on the plane.
No.
They're speaking Muslim. They can't get on the plane. And then they take these people off the plane. It's like, I just want to start going, I'm sorry, those white guys over there, they're speaking clam. I don't want to get on the plane. I'd like to avoid the plane.
Comedian Liz Winstead, the founder of the Lady Parts Justice League, a comedy hub that uses sketch, stand-up, and multimedia comedy to explore the politicization of women's bodies. Joining Liz on the North Carolina tour is another fine comedian, Joyelle Johnson.
You ever dated somebody so strange you start Googling mental disorders? Yes, you have. Okay, it's not just me. I thought it was just me on that Google search. I Google sociopath and symptoms come up next to pictures on this particular website. And one of the symptoms of a sociopath is unchecked egocentricity, which was next to a picture of a person standing on a stage holding a microphone. Touche, Wikipedia.
Joyelle Johnson, a stand-up comic participating in the Lady Parts Justice League comedy tour in North Carolina. Their show is called You Should Smile More and Other Manspirational Things. They performed in Asheville on Sunday. They're going to be at the Cat's Cradle in Carrboro tonight. Liz Winstead and Joyelle Johnson are both with me in the studio today. What a pleasure to have both of you here. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Frank. It's great to be here. We love following voter suppression. That is just always every comic's dream is to follow. And yesterday we went to the Civil Rights Museum in Greensboro, so it's just a ball of fun.
Welcome, yes. Welcome to the Tar Heel State. Well, tell us more about this tour, Lady Parts Justice League.
So the tour is basically in the state that we're living in with all of these state legislatures hammering and eroding access to any kind of reproductive health care. A bunch of comics got together and said, you know, we should be able to use our writing skills, our performing skills, our going on tour to do two things, make some videos that exposes some of the hypocrites that are doing the stuff. But also we like to go to clinics in local areas and see what they need and see how we can be helpful. So we're sort of part Funny or Die, part Habitats for Humanity, if we can help out a clinic fix up some stuff, and part USO show. Being fun and bringing some good energy to the clinic workers who desperately need it.
You mentioned one of the many, many social justice issues we're struggling with here in the state of North Carolina.
Yes.
Over the past few years, and reproductive justice is one of them. But why did you focus on that?
I focused on that one because nobody else was. I think for years since Roe v. Wade, really, we have been on the defensive. We have tiptoed around abortion. We have put it into a narrative that felt stigmatizing and shaming. And when one in three women will have to terminate a pregnancy in her lifetime, I just feel like it's time to stand up for it. I myself have had an abortion, and I don't want to be silent about it, and I don't want people to feel shamed for making a decision that's going to put them on a path for their own destiny.
Joyelle, tell us about your participation in this. You've joined the league. You talk about your experiences on stage. What is that like for you in terms of crafting comedy around this particular issue?
I enjoy it a lot because I know that it helps people. I mean, after our shows, people will come up to us and say, like, I've never even talked about my abortion before. I've never had I've never even mentioned it to anyone. And it empowers women. So I'm honored to be empowering women all over the country.
Does it change things for you as a performer and or a writer to have this issue that you probably care very deeply about?
I mean,
I mean, it's not to say that humor isn't about what you're doing, but does it change things when it's an issue like this and you're having to be funny, you're having to write and perform about it?
It doesn't change it for me because I feel like comedians have always found funny in things that other people don't, you know, death, whatever. We can laugh at anything. I've laughed at plenty of funerals before. So when I have an issue like abortion, that's just to me another considered taboo topic. But a taboo person. So.
And I think, too, what's great is the show is a panoply of material. And so while we like to gather people in a space where we're doing comedy and where we're basically using our humor to, you know, our show is very diverse. We have, it's multi-ethnic. It's people who gender identify in different spectrums. And so to hear about the world through a lens of people that you normally don't, and then to have them say, hey, this thing is happening. Come and talk to us. We have a booth set up. Get information. Talk to us about that. So it's really great. So it's nice to be able to talk about reproductive rights and justice on stage, but also to talk about our lives and who we are within that as well. So it's a really nice, wide-ranging experience that is a nice change of pace.
Well, you talked about the various formats, stand-up, sketch. It also features a collection of funny videos about reproductive justice. You did one about Louisiana that's a spoof on Beyoncé's song Formation, so we've got a little clip of that.
Lawmakers corny with that anti-abortion mess. My body, my life, so I do what I want with it. Y'all so reckless, gonna deny all my access. Y'all so possessive, trying to block my womanness. Clinics, Alabama, four left in Louisiana. New state got new laws closing clinics, causing Texas
drama.
Politicians do not like women. That's a clip from the spoof video.
Joel produced that video.
It's an amazing video. I mean, it's a great spoof just in its own right.
Well, you know, yeah.
It's really high art.
It was pretty fun because Louisiana's been hard hit. Like, they've been a lot like North Carolina, you know, with the waiting bans and with the trap laws and everything. And so when Beyonce's Lemonade came out and Information came out, and she was talking about how people were forgotten after the floods, the hurricane in Louisiana. I was like, what if all the, you know, we gathered a really strong group of women of color, some from our team, brought some outside people in, and really took that and changed it and talked about what's happening in Louisiana. So the rewriting of the lyrics was really cool. Jean Grey, who is an incredible hip-hop MC who recorded and produced the whole song and sounds incredible. And then Danae Fanata, who did incredible choreography, and Joyelle produced the whole thing. And she has a feature in it that you can't air.
Yes, I'm so glad you didn't play my part, because I was like, are they going to make me listen to my voice again? Oh my goodness.
Well, that's fun to, I mean, to think about. Just I don't know if you'd been doing this kind of production, or, you know, satire or spoof, it, just in terms of production, but does that expand you as an artist to work in this other media?
Oh, completely. Yeah, I mean, I've always loved production ever since I was young, so I kind of like being behind the scenes and in front of the camera. I sometimes prefer being behind the scenes because you can just construct the narrative a little different there. But I'm so proud of that video. Like, we worked really hard on it. And these laws affect poor women and women of color. So that's why it's a personal journey for me, because they're trying to stop people that look like me.
What do you do when you go from state to state? I mean, you talked about Louisiana and North Carolina. Do you end up doing much research before you get here? And how much of what you do changes from state to state, or is targeted at particularly what's happening?
I think it's just a general broad target of the trap laws, because those are the targeted regulations against abortion providers. So those are the trap laws, things like waiting bans for 72 hours for women who have to think about their abortion because they are assuming that we didn't think about it before we went to the clinic. Laws that are ridiculous, like you have to have an 8-foot wide hallway.
Yeah, so that gurneys can get through that you never need.
That you never need the gurneys. Admitting privileges for doctors. It's like all
you
these
never
things.
Need to go to the hospital. So if you can't prove a caseload, you can't get admitting privileges. And if you don't have admitting privileges, you can't be a provider. So it's crazy. So I just want to add on to that, because that's another cool thing. My career, if anybody knows about it, you know, obviously with The Daily Show and stuff, my whole life has been just following politics everywhere I go. So it's kind of fun because I emcee the show, and I'm a voracious consumer of political news in every state. So I will do the heavy lifting on, all right, who are these like vaginal crossing guards in every state? And I will do research on them and write material about them so everybody else can bring their certain experiences to the stage. So every state we go to, it's fun because I will do a hunk of material based on what's happening locally, because I feel like people who are in good places deserve to have they're moronic politicians, and every state has moronic politicians. It is a universal truth.
It's universal.
They deserve to be.
It's almost redundant
it
in
is,
some ways.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just say politician. So to be able to skewer the people that they never hear jokes about on you know, Bill Maher or The Daily Show is really fun.
But what does it do for your career? I wonder about this. Is it does it make you more visible, less visible? Is it dangerous to take on a topic like this?
You know what? I feel like I've reinvented myself based on the things I want to talk about. And I often say, you know, for the first part of my career, it was really fun to do The Daily Show and expose hypocrisy and Air America Radio. And but when you work in commercial spaces, it's not your job to give people a call to action. It's not your job to say, and here's what I want you to do. Your job is to be funny and expose hypocrisy and move on. And I got real frustrated. So I thought, you know what? I have enough pedigree in my background that I'm also sort of tired of working for white dudes who control a whole bunch of narrative and don't prioritize the things that we find are important. So I decided to, instead of saying, how does it affect my career? I decided to reinvent my career and help some women along who can be in spaces where we can like have terrible jokes and nobody's going to hold it against you. We can get mad at each other. We never have to feel the pressure of who are we living up to. We're just living up to ourselves and making the best things that we can make.
I wonder about the audiences, Joyelle. I mean, you talked about the fact that this is important to you because these laws affect people who look like you. And I wonder about the audiences. I mean, are you preaching to the conversion? I mean, it's not that you're preaching. Of course you're only being. But I mean, it certainly has a very, very definite political bent to it. So it's obviously political. Would anybody be there, do you think, in your audience who didn't agree with you?
Sometimes we have a couple of trolls that come to our shows and they'll write articles about us. It was funny. We did a show in D.C. last year and I told my abortion story for the first time on stage and I got a standing ovation. And a troll wrote an article about it. And it was funny because he couldn't say anything bad about me. And it's like he wanted to, but he was like, I guess she was poignant. Like he was reluctant to say anything positive. So, yeah, we get trolls. And, hey, come. I love them. Yeah. I love talking to
people. Also, too, what we discover is, like, even last night we did a show in Charlotte. And, you know, hundreds of people come out and they came. They know what we do. There was articles written about it. And still, when I talked about, you know, the motorcycle maintenance bill, there was probably 15 people in the room were like, what is that? What is that? And so
would you remind us, because it's actually, it was a riot when it happened, but actually it's been a while since we talked about that motorcycle bill.
Yes, your fantastic state legislature had a motorcycle maintenance bill in front of them. And I believe how it went was a bunch of people went to lunch and all but 17 words were removed out of the motorcycle maintenance bill and inserted were incredible abortion laws that were highly prohibitive, especially after Governor Pat said in his debate when he was running for governor that he wasn't going to do a single thing about restricting abortion access. And it seems he's done nothing but. Oh, wait, the bathroom restrictions. I forgot. Abortions and bathrooms. You guys have a lot of bathroom problems with
safest,
your...
We have the safest clinics and bathrooms in America.
You
I'll
do.
I'll have you know.
And I know.
That's a campaign
slogan. It feels like, to me, the biggest terrorizing thing in public restrooms is not having toilet paper.
That happens a lot. No one can spare a square.
No one wants to spare a square. I mean, and that is the bottom line. I think Americans need to be more patriotic, and it should be spare a square. Make bathrooms great again.
Yes.
So as you go, as you've been to Asheville, you went to Charlotte, and then you're going to be here in you're going to be in Carrboro tonight, right?
Yep, at the Cat's Cradle.
Cat's Cradle, and do that. Do you ever get you? Do you go to places where like nobody shows up? Are there sort of red states where it's like forget it?
You know what? No. Here's the thing that we love most is that we're in Louisville, packed. We like to go to places where there's pockets of amazing people who are really working hard and who need some fun. And so we don't, you know, we could go all day long to Burlington, Vermont and whoa, yay. And, you know, going to Carrboro is just about going like Burlington, Vermont, but we love it. But I think it's really important to to travel to places where not only are the people who are working really hard at keeping their state sane get some relief, but also the clinics there are sometimes often the ones who are hit hardest with protesters, hit hardest with politicians. Everywhere they turn, somebody's telling them they're horrible people, and they work every day in a place where somebody says, thank you for saving my life. So I think it's important to remind them that we're watching and that, you know, we got you.
You've got an activist branch that is part of, or not part of, but associated with the League. Tell us
yes,
about that.
Yes, the Lady Parts. So we have the Lady Parts Justice, which is our political arm. And they that is a straight up call them out like we see them. And then the Lady Parts Justice League is let's talk about the issues. Let's bring you in. Let's see if when we get people to come to our shows tonight, when they talk to us afterwards, that they'll make a commitment to helping out some of these clinics. You know, you send a postcard to a clinic, you know, you get together with them, make them some cupcakes, you know, help them out. They're so thrilled that people are actually recognizing them as the pillars of the community that they are.
Yeah.
When you think about the way things are sort of melting together these days, popular culture, certainly entertainment and politics, all really becoming one, and it's sort of amply demonstrated in shows like The Daily Show, but elsewhere in social media. How is this? Is it helping? Do you think that there's actual progress in the fact that we are now able to use these various platforms to talk about politics and don't have these issues in the silos they once were? Is it helping? Is it hurting? Is it changing things, Joyelle?
I think it's helping because I grew up with George Carlin, and he was the person that made me want to be more involved in politics because of the way he put a light on it, where I was like, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily want to watch MSNBC all the time, you know. Yeah. It's like if you grew up watching The Daily Show, you're like, why can't I get my news and laugh at the same time? So I think it's helping. Laughter always helps.
I feel old now. Grew up. People are now, it's I been know. On so long that people are growing up watching The Daily Show. I think that, you know, what we have seen, too, is with our videos, with our road stuff, people will come because some of the comics in our show are just funny and they're political and they're feminist, but they don't necessarily have do political satire straight up. They might talk about issues. They talk about themselves. They talk about sexism. And so when people come to see comics that they like and then they get a message of, oh, I had no idea that was going on, I think that's the part that it really makes a difference. And also just gathering people in a space where there's joy to look around and say, well, I think that's my neighbor. I can't tell you how many shows we go to where it's like, I didn't know my neighbor was cool. I want to talk to my neighbor now. So I feel like you bring people together and there's community. And, you know, sometimes if the room is full of like-minded people, you're preaching to the choir, if you will, sometimes the choir needs more songs. You know, yeah. Whenever I hear that question, I'm always like, nobody ever goes into a butcher shop and says, why do you sell fish? You're only selling things to people who like meat. I'm like, well, you know what? We're servicing the meat people. So yeah. Meat people, come to the Cat's Cradle tonight.
Specifically.
Well, and you've also diversified the cast a little bit. This is since you've started this project, right?
Well, we have not only, I mean, we just keep growing because there's people who are 100% on staff. Joyelle and I are full-timers. And then there's comics and writers and editors who are like, I can give you X amount of time. So what's cool is we have this massive volunteer army of people who have so much time they can give. You know, Sarah Silverman's like, I can give you one show a year. Pick it and I'll do it. You know, and so it's kind of great to have some big heavy hitters come in and then just who's ever available goes out on tour. It's really fun.
Liz Winstead, the co-creator of The Daily Show and the founder of the comedy collective Lady Parts Justice League. Liz, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for
joining
us. Thank
you for having me. This is my favorite show in North Carolina.
Thank you very much, comedian Joyelle Johnson. Joyelle, thank you, too.
Thank you. This is great.
Lady Parts Justice League will perform their show, You Should Smile More, and other manspirational things at Cat's Cradle in Carrboro tonight at 8. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we're going to talk with artist Hank Willis Thomas about his work and commentary on race and popular culture, and that happens just ahead if you stay tuned.